You're listening to Boston Public Radio. We've talked about face surgery on humans today, surgery on non-human animals. Now joining us on the line from the MFA to discuss a different kind of surgery is Suzanne Gonsica. She's a conservator and part of the team that pulled off one of the highest profile restoration projects in the museum's history on Juno, a 13-foot-high, 13,000-pound patient. Welcome, Suzanne.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you very much. So tell us, Suzanne, what was wrong with poor Juno and that you had to fix?
Well, poor Juno, even though she is tall and beautiful, is a rather old lady with a long history. And we brought her in from an outside estate into the museum, so she had all kinds of stains and biological growth on the surface. And most disturbingly, she had severe losses in the face. So nose and both lips were really severely damaged.
But Suzanne, one of the things I was surprised by, and we all read this story in the Globe the other day, which was a great piece, there are many incredibly famous works of art, statues in particular, that are missing parts. Why did you decide in this circumstance it was important to, as Marjorie said, give Juno a nose job? Why did you decide to do that?
Well, you know, this was sort of a follow-up operation, actually. And I have to say the coverage in the Globe was really, really wonderful. We're very proud of that. The sculpture has suffered a number of repairs in the past, post-antiquity and historic times. Let's say, you know, just for the purpose of this, perhaps in the 17th century, body and head were united when the sculpture was readied for display in a Baroque garden in Rome. And body and head are actually from, they're both Roman, but they're from slightly different periods. And at that point, also, the facial features of the head were restored in perhaps the 17th century. Maybe they were just minor chips to nose and lips, but whoever chose to repair the sculpture took a chisel and removed rather large portions of the face in order to put their own marble nose and lips on. And then those additions were lost. And what we were looking at when the sculpture came into the museum were not just little, let's say, natural break edges, but really cuts which were deliberately executed during a previous repair phase.
So this was a statue that was from Roman times, two different periods perhaps, but we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that had been outside, and you brought it in to the museum through a skylight, I read.
Yes.
And it did take you a while, though, was it a full year to finish this? How come it took so long, Suzanne?
Well, first of all, we had to bring the sculpture into the museum, and we had never handled anything that big and heavy. And there are certain, I mean, there are logistical problems that were really beyond the expertise that we have in-house. So we worked with a group of about 9 companies in order to create a safe method to bring the sculpture into the building.
Wow.
So that took place from the better second half of 2011.
And from the article in the Globe, we only have a minute left, Suzanne. The nose that you are – that is being added, if that's the proper verb, is essentially a copy of the nose that existed on the original statue, as best as you can tell, correct?
As best as we could reconstruct it. We used a similar sculpture, which Christine Condolian, our senior curator of Greek and Roman art, identified at the Louvre in Paris. And based on images of that sculpture, we modeled a replacement nose, which eventually was cast in plaster and was attached last week. And, of course, it remains removable should future generation disagree with our...
Oh, that's great.
So when is the quickly, if you can, when is the patient being unveiled? I saw the bandages wrapped around the nose. Mm-hmm. When is the patient available?
The patient is up and running, standing proud with a completed face as we speak.
Oh.
You know what's amazing is that we talked to the premier face transplant surgeon in America. Face surgeons have 4 hours for a transplant. You took a full year, Suzanne.
Well, you know,
No, I'm kidding. You did great.
Our patient, as you know, was rigid.
Good line, Suzanne.
Suzanne, thank you so much for being with us and telling us about this great
My
story.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking us to participate.
We want to thank everybody for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. You can find us on the web at wgbhnews.org/BPR. Tomorrow, the Attorney General of the Commonwealth joins us. She's going to talk about DOMA, Tim Cahill, and nonprofit boards getting paid yet again. And then on open mic at 1 o'clock, Chris Lydon discusses with us whether another bulger should possibly be on trial. I am Jim Browdy.
And I am Marjorie Egan.
Talk to you again soon.